Again, looking at Psalm 23, know from this psalm that the Lord is our shepherd, and throughout the psalm we see him acting as our personal shepherd. In verse 3, he restoreth my soul. That's what the shepherd does. No one else can restore our soul. He may use others, he may use things, but it is the Lord who brings restoration of soul, just like it's the Lord who saves souls. I've been looking at several means that God uses, that the Lord uses in restoring our soul. Last week we were looking at his corrective discipline. And we see that over in Hebrews chapter 12, if you'd like to turn there again. So a lot of misconceptions concerning the Lord's corrective discipline. There's a lot of assumptions made concerning people's circumstances many times. But we do need, it is important that we understand the Lord's discipline. And the best way to understand that is to understand the one who administers it, the person of the Lord. But last week we looked at what is corrective discipline. What is it? And we saw that basically it's God's instruction, it's God's teaching, it's God's nurture. It's what he uses to teach us, instruct us, and to nurture us. We see different aspects of God's discipline. Verse 5, we see that word rebuked. That is, he speaks to us. Speaks to us. He does so through his word. He does so through circumstances. He does so directly with the Holy Spirit abiding within. He rebukes. Verse 6, there's more severe degree, and that is he scourgeth. But you'll notice rebuke comes first, and then he scourgeth. And I do think that if we would listen and heed his rebukes, we could spare ourselves scourging. But again, there's a greater degree. Not all discipline is scourging. Usually there's rebuke that went before it. And with the long patience of God, usually many, 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 many rebukes that aren't heeded. Then in verse 9, you have the word corrected. And really, that's the Lord corrects us. He says, don't do that. Instead, do this. Don't think that. Instead, think this. He corrects. The Lord, again, he can correct us by rebuke. He can correct us by scourging. He can use his word. He can use the Spirit. He can use other people. But really, it's also the purpose of discipline. Whether it be a rebuke or whether it be scourging, the purpose is for correction, to correct. And speaking of the purpose, in verse 9, one of the purposes is subjection unto the Father. That's the purpose of discipline, to bring us into subjection, to bring us into submission to the Father. Submission. That's one of the chief purposes of discipline. Again, this is an area that parents fail miserably in. They administer discipline, but there's still no submission. You haven't accomplished the purpose, subjection unto the Father. Verse 10 says it's for our profit. When the Lord corrects us, He does so for our profit. He knows everything. He knows everything about us. And everything He does, including His discipline, is for our profit. In verse 10 also, that we might be partakers of His holiness. That is, He's bringing us into conformity to who He is. These are all the purposes. Verse 11, we read of the fruit, peaceable fruit of righteousness, which again is one of the purposes of discipline. But the Lord uses corrective discipline of whatever form, whatever means, He uses it to restore our souls. Again, for our profit. So it's never a bad thing. It's not an enjoyable thing. Hebrews 12 addresses that. But if you follow it through, there's an afterwards. Afterwards, it yieldeth the perfect fruit of righteousness. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. And it does not appear to be a delightful thing, but it's grievous. But then there's that word, nevertheless, afterward. Afterward. And that's where the peaceable fruit of righteousness comes in. And that brings us to a right attitude toward the Lord's discipline. We know that God disciplines us. We have some idea of what that is. We know that He does so for our profit. He does not do so just to make our lives miserable, but He does so for our profit. Therefore, it is important that we have a right attitude toward His discipline. He addresses that at the very beginning of the subject in verse 5. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation. Okay, the exhortation, let's hold a mark there and go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. And then the writer of Hebrews makes reference to that here in Hebrews 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Okay, so He's addressing us as children, His children. That's a good thing. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint. Proverbs put it, neither be weary of His correction. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. And He gives us a reason for whom the Lord loveth. In other words, the Lord does this out of love. And He does so to He receives His children. But the instruction is, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. That's a warning. It is a warning. The word despise, we use the word today and we think of hatred, strong dislike. But throughout the Bible it's used in a different way. It means to think lightly of. So when he says that we're not to despise the chastening of the Lord, it means we're not to treat it in a lighthearted manner. That is, when the Lord rebukes us, whatever form the rebuke takes, doesn't matter. When the Lord rebukes us, we're not to treat that in a light manner. We're to take it seriously. If we read a verse of Scripture and the Lord rebukes our heart, we need to take that seriously. We need to stop right there and we need to take that seriously. You do not try to just put it off. It's something not to be thought lightly of. It's not to be received in a lighthearted manner. If to despise means that we do not value it. We do not value it. And I don't think any of us value, like we should, the rebuke of the Lord. It's a valuable thing. It'll save your life. It'll save you from a lot of misery. It means that we're not to reject the Lord's rebuke. But it goes on and it says, we're not to faint when we are rebuked of the Lord. That is, we're not to give way to despair. We're not to give way to despair. We're not to go and sulk. That's what many children do. They're corrected. They go sit in a corner and they pout. And parents laugh. They think it's funny. There's nothing funny about it. They are not in submission. They are despising. They are thinking lightly. They are fainting. Can't have it. Can't have it. And that's what he is talking about here. Nor faint. When you're rebuked of God, you don't feel like you're being mistreated. You don't feel like just giving up. And the Lord always administers his discipline correctly. Parents do not always administer discipline correctly. Discipline can be too harsh, where a child does give up and a child thinks there's no hope. But the Lord's discipline's not that way. So we're not to faint. And if we do, that's a form, really, of despising it. But then in verse, so we see two things we're not to do. We're not to think lightly of it. Again, the Lord uses it to restore my soul. I'm to value that. And the second thing we're not to do is we're not to faint. We're not to give way to despair. But then, even more importantly, is verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto. Okay, so there's a limitation here to the, there's a restriction put upon the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's not unto everyone, but it is unto them which are exercised thereby. Those who are exercised by the chastening. That means we are to make use of God's chastening. To make use of it. We know His purpose. Now we're to make use of it. We're to fall in line with it. That's the opposite side of despising it and fainting. If you despise it, you don't value it. If you're exercised thereby, you've placed value in it. So, we're to make use of God's discipline. God rebukes us. And if you look at the Lord's dealing in your life, it's very rare for the Lord just to... He can do whatever He pleases. But I think it's extremely rare for the Lord just to let you have it all at once. I think there's been a lot of rebukes leading up to that. lot of correction leading up to that. And the truth is, if we would have heeded his correction and his rebuke, we would not have gotten ourselves in the state of being where we finally do that thing where, boom, he lets us have it. If we'd have just listened, we wouldn't have even gotten ourselves in that state of being. We wouldn't have even been able to do whatever it was that broke the camel's back, for lack of a better word. Exercise thereby. There's an interesting verse, Micah chapter 6, and it goes along with this exercised thereby. In Micah 6, verse 9, the Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. This is a man of wisdom, listen. But then notice what it says. Hear ye the rod. Now the rod is the more severe form of discipline. It goes along with the scourging. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? What's that tell us? It tells us that there is a message. There is a message in the rod. There is a message in God's discipline. And if we're wise, we'll hear it. We'll listen. And it's personal. Hear ye the rod. It's amazing to me how many people can hear the rod for someone else, but they can't hear it for themselves. Hear ye the rod. So there is a message in the corrective discipline of the Lord. Again, all of this, God uses this to bring restoration of Saul. The reason we need restoration is because we get ourselves in a state that we shouldn't be in. The truth is, if we would listen to the Lord, we wouldn't get in that state. But the truth is, we do get in that state. And therefore, we need discipline. And God uses discipline to bring us out. If we're his children, you continually disregard his discipline, he's going to let you have it. At some point, you're going to get it. And if that doesn't happen, Hebrews 12 makes it plain why that doesn't happen. He chasteneth every son, and he'll scourge them too when needed. But God's patience is much greater than ours, for which we ought to be very thankful. But God's discipline is very much needed in the life of every child of God. Just like corrective discipline is very much needed in the life of a child, it's needed in life of adults also. It's something that we need. And were it not for such, if God did not discipline us, we would destroy ourselves. Just like that sheep. The shepherd does not discipline the sheep, that sheep will destroy itself. But it's bad enough that we destroy ourselves. Were it not for God's discipline, we would destroy others as well. So God, with great love and care, administers discipline in our lives. Because we need it. Because we need it. And he does so many times to bring about restoration of soul. And therefore, if God disciplines us, we are blessed. Whatever form the discipline takes, we are blessed. Now don't think, again, we said at the beginning that people make a lot of wrong assumptions concerning circumstances in people's life. Your child gets sick. Some Pharisee immediately says, well, they're being... God's punishing them. You don't know that. No, there's a lot wrong with that assumption. But people make those assumptions. And they're erroneously made. But we're blessed if God disciplines us. You know, God sends trial in people's lives, not just because they've done something wrong. And that's true of any of us. There's hardly a time when we haven't done something wrong. But he sends trials into people's lives because their faith is strong, and he knows that they will manifest that faith and declare the glory of God. But most people don't look at it that way. But it's true. So don't make those assumptions. In Job 5, verse 17, it says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. He uses the title Almighty. It would be wise to remember who it is that's administering the discipline. He's the Almighty. Don't try to fight it. You're going to lose. He's the Almighty. Notice in Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord. And remember we said one of the forms of chastening is to teach, one of the purposes, and teachest him out of thy law. It's part of God's discipline to teach. So since the recipient of discipline is blessed, then it's something we ought to desire. Notice Jeremiah 10, verse 24. Jeremiah 10, verse 24. O Lord, correct me. Correct me. That ought to always be our prayer. Lord, wherever I'm wrong, correct me. Correct me. But notice what he says, but with judgment. Not in thine anger. You know, there's been a lot written over the years, don't discipline a child out of anger, all of that. Well, what most people are saying, did I discipline my kids out of anger? Yes. Do I apologize for that? No. I believe it's controlled anger. Now, if you lose absolute control, you better stop. And when the Lord disciplines us, is he angry sometimes? You better believe it. But we better thank God his anger is always controlled. you wouldn't survive. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. That's not the purpose of discipline. The purpose of discipline is not to bring to nothing. The purpose of discipline is to correct. So what we see here is a desire for the discipline, but it's a desire to be corrected. So we ought to always want restoration of soul. That ought to always be our desire, that our soul be in a restored state. Realizing that, we realize that God does use discipline. Many different forms, many different degrees. And we ought to desire it. And just like we read here in Jeremiah, you leave it to the Lord. You trust God that He's going to be wise in the administration of it. He always is. Was I always wise in disciplining my children? No. No, I wasn't. None of us have been. But God always is. God is always wise when He disciplines us. So it's one of the methods that God uses to restore our soul. Just thank Him that He does love us enough to restore our soul. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for being our shepherd. We thank You, Lord, for being our Father's shepherd. And Lord, we just thank You that we are one of Your sheep, under Your care at all times. Lord, help us to always realize that, always to be thankful for that. We just pray now that You'd help us, Lord, to worship You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.